Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
The Israel Report brought to you the compliments of the Blue Agency, Israel's property management and sales.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, Shavua Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the things that are going on in Iran at the moment, because even though it's not like neatly something that fits into talking about Israel, but clearly the events in Iran at the moment are of significant interest to Israel and Israelis. And this whole uprising, the anti-hijab uprising that's going on in the protests in Iran. I mean, there is a significant upsurge in internal strife in Iran at the moment. And I just wonder to what extent some of it is being driven by economic hardships that people have had to suffer arising from the sanctions that have been imposed on Iran. Clearly, people are also a little fed up with the Islamic extremism which is being imposed upon them. But I sense that Iran is much less stable today than it has been in recent times as a result of this uprising. And of course, a lot of support from around the world coming for women and generally people in Iran in their attempts to try to somehow free themselves from this Islamic extremist regime under which they've had to exist for so long.
Yeah, it is fascinating to see, and we are at least starting to see that the world's attention, or the world is giving a little bit of attention to the plight of women in Iran, because until now it's been quite appallingly neglectful, I think.
I agree. I mean, I think that the regime there has done well to somehow shield the way in which human rights are being trampled upon across the board in Iran. And not only women, but just generally across the board. And now it's becoming more apparent and more of a thing, more noticed by the international community. And certainly, I think that people in Iran are growing in their confidence and feeling a little bit more empowered to stand up. You know, you see these videos of these women standing up to security forces, which have been so feared up until now. Some of them, unfortunately, have had to pay with their lives because they have no qualms about even taking a single woman and whipping her to the ground and, you know, it being very, very violent against her, but simply for her standing up against the security forces. And I've seen a few of those videos as well. But certainly a situation in Iran at the moment, which is escalating, I would say, internally.
And certainly something that we've been speaking about, and we will continue to do so. Further terror attacks were launched in Judea and Samaria. So this is, it does seem to becoming quite a serious event, this.
So certainly an upsurge in violence, no doubt at all. I saw a very, very frightening video yesterday which showed automatic gunfire being aimed towards cars driving on the road just out in the sort of between towns, you know, in an area which is completely uninhabited. And then there was this camera that was trained on the road and a video clip released from the camera. I guess it's a phone camera. But it seemed as if though the individual who was taking the video knew what was about to happen. It just felt like it had been pre-planned, that they knew that this was going to happen. The camera was on. All of a sudden, the automatic gunfire opened up, directed towards a taxi and a bus that were driving on the road. Fortunately, the taxi driver in this case was only just slightly injured. We suddenly see the taxi taking off at quite high speed. The bus, unfortunately, less able to take off at that speed. But the sound of that gunfire, that automatic weapon that was fired towards those vehicles, was really scary. And you just wonder what the heck, who in their right mind would honestly open fire in that way with an automatic weapon towards vehicles which are being driven along the road, minding their own business. I mean, if that's a concept that we can identify with, people just driving from one place to another when all of a sudden they come under gunfire. And of course, reports this morning about two Palestinians who were killed when they tried to ram with a car some IDF forces that were operating in the area. And I think what we've seen is that there have been these attacks. The IDF forces go in order to try to what they would consider clean up operation, to try and identify who was involved, to try and go in to the homes that were used as launch bases, to try and identify individuals, to go and arrest people who might have been involved in those attacks. And in the process of going in, they create further antagonism and another attack takes place and somebody else is killed and other people are injured. And it's just a cycle that's going on and is escalating. And we definitely feel the escalation. And as we move now into Yom Kippur later this week, and of course Sukkot next week, there is an expectation that there will be a closure on all crossings and borders, as has been the case in previous years, particularly for Yom Kippur, where there will be a complete closure of all the borders in order to try and secure people as we get through the fast day of Yom Kippur. But currently, there is definitely a feeling that violence is escalating, and it's just getting slowly but surely less controlled. We just feel like there's a loss of control somewhere. And every single day, there's just another incident being reported, a little incident here, a more significant incident there, and unfortunately, people being hurt and people being killed. And the latest that I saw this morning was that a group of Israelis actually tried to block the entrance to Nablus to prevent people from coming in and out of Nablus as a protest against the lack of security that they feel when living in those areas. So I think that Yair Lapid's government really needs to take a stock of the current situation, and something needs to change in order to create a greater feeling of security, particularly as we move now into Yom Kippur and to Sukkot next week.
Yeah, it's the escalation is very scary, and one just wonders how we're going to change that, or how that is going to be changed in order to bring some peace there. Very, very concerning indeed. It would appear that Israel-Lebanon maritime border issue may have been resolved. What is known?
Well, the Prime Minister yesterday reported to the Cabinet about what is essentially on the table. No agreements have been signed yet, but it was very significant that Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah came out with a very, very positive statement saying that things are looking optimistic in terms of resolution of the maritime border. And yesterday, certainly in the cabinet meeting, we understand that the prime minister reported as well to the ministers in that cabinet meeting some of the details of what has been discussed and apparently agreed upon, at least proposed to the Lebanese government. Now, we know that the situation in Lebanon is extremely unstable politically because there was a presidential election, somebody who was due to have replaced the current Lebanese president, Michel Aoun. Unfortunately, that presidential election didn't reveal any result, as a result of which there is no new president, and the current president has stayed in his position, at least for now. So political instability in Lebanon, while Amos Hochstein, who has been trying to negotiate as the U.S. energy envoy, he's been trying to negotiate between Israel and Lebanon. What we understand is that the greater claim that Lebanon had against Israel has been set aside. So when Lebanon tried to expand the region that they were claiming on the Israeli side of the border, that apparently has been set aside. And the smaller claim, where Lebanon claimed just a smaller area which went across the Israeli border, apparently that claim has been upheld. And what we understand is that Lebanon will be given permission to be able to extract gas from the Qana gas field, which extends southward into Israeli waters, but Lebanon will have the right to extract gas from that field, and Israel will be paid some royalties for the gas that's extracted from south of the border, from within that gas field. So that sounds like a very, very sensible arrangement to me, and one which is interesting because, of course, it represents agreement between two parties who don't recognize each other and who are theoretically at war with each other. There is no peace arrangement, and there has been some attempt to emphasize from the Israeli, from the Lebanese point of view, that this does not recognize the state of Israel or does not create any peace arrangement with Israel. It is simply a maritime border dispute resolution and nothing more than that. But the fact that there is agreement is very, very promising indeed. And one of the more significant things that we need to think about in terms of this agreement is the fact that if Lebanon is able to extract gas from that field and benefit economically from the extraction of the gas, it makes Lebanon less reliant on Iran. And that's not an insignificant issue. That's a very, very important issue for us to remember, because there are many parties within Lebanon who would gladly disconnect from Iran, but unfortunately, because of the economic reliance, Lebanon is unable to do so. So I think that this is a strategic move from Israel's perspective to say, go ahead, extract the gas, enjoy the fruits of your labors, enjoy the economic benefit of the gas fields. We are going to do the same on our side on the Karish gas field, which the gas is due to be flowing very, very soon indeed. We'll agree the so-called boys line. There is a line of boys that have been set up along the maritime border, which Israel set up some time ago, and which is now being formally recognized within this agreement that we're entering into. So there's lots and lots of agreement, even though everybody's at pains to emphasize that this does not mean we have a peace arrangement. This does not mean we've come to any land border agreement. This is purely a maritime border agreement, but I think a very, very significant one, and potentially increases the stability and the security of the state of Israel on that northern border with Lebanon as a result of the agreement being reached.
All right, and that is very good news. A majority of Israeli youth believe that Israel should be a Jewish state. So this is interesting, because you'd often find that it's amongst the youth where these things start to maybe become a little less stable and questioned a little bit more. But it would seem that Israeli youth believe that Israel should be a Jewish state. Tell us about the survey.
It is very interesting, and I agree with you, because on the one hand, the survey overall reveals that 67% of the adult Jewish population in Israel prefer that the state of Israel be run as a Jewish state. So that's the whole Jewish population, the whole Jewish population in Israel. But when you look at it segmented by age, and you look at the age group between 18 and 34, then it's not 67%, but 71% who think that Israel should be run as a Jewish state. Now, exactly what being run as a Jewish state means, I think, is different things to different people. And it's interesting that this has come around the same time that Merav Michaeli, the Minister of Tourism, the Minister of Transport, I'm sorry, in the Israeli government, announced that the Tel Aviv light rail system will run on Shabbat, and she will make sure of that starting from next year, that the Tel Aviv light rail will run on Shabbat. Now, to what extent these two issues clash with each other is unclear to me, because I think on the one hand that there is a great deal of support to allow people to have the freedom of movement if that's what they wish to do on Shabbat, whether you believe in it or not, but that the state should give the ability for those people who do not wish to observe halachic Shabbat rules and who wish to travel around on Shabbat because that's their weekend, that's their free day, and they have no other way of doing it, and the state therefore should potentially be obliged to provide public transportation. So as people would say, look, the fact that I happen to observe Shabbat doesn't bother me if the light rail is going to run for people who don't want to observe Shabbat. It doesn't tread on my toes and it doesn't really get in my way. However, of course, there are a lot of people, and particularly some of the ultra-Orthodox parties, who are very much opposed to the idea of the government providing transportation on Shabbat, because they feel that it's the government's responsibility to uphold the nature of the Jewish state. And part of that means denying public transportation on Shabbat. So once again, I mean, it's something which I know the viewers will, the listeners will have a lot to say and to talk about. But it's interesting that this comes alongside this survey, which emphasizes that even the younger generation are very much interested in having Israel as a Jewish state, as opposed to what Kathy would like to call a state for Jews rather than a Jewish state. And, you know, I've spoken to her about that on a few occasions, how she likes to contrast the two positions. What do you guys think?
I'd love to hear from you. 34519 or 0618951019. The question, I guess, is what it means to people then to be a Jewish state. Because if you're saying that the majority of youth say that Israel needs to remain a Jewish state, but then you have these questions about Tel Aviv light rail on a Shabbat, does that detract from the Jewish nature of Israel? Well, I guess it would depend on where everybody stands in that regard. Maybe they aren't mutually exclusive. I'd love to hear from you. Sorry,
I think that's right. I mean, there's so many different issues to raise here. Mm. Whether, you know, there should be civil marriage, whether we should adhere to halachic rules, whether all of halacha as it's currently interpreted by the rabbis, how that needs to be encapsulated in the so-called Jewish state, or is it enough that our public holidays run according to the Jewish calendar? I don't know. I think everybody should have their say and let themselves be heard. What do you think about this?
Mm. Absolutely. 34519 or 0618951019. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. And the Israel Report, brought to you with the compliments of the Blue Agency, Israeli Property Management and Sales.